How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com, and now I reside right here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you fine people. Some say I have a way with words. They do. Some of you say it. Some of you don't, but some of you say it. Some of you call me the Tom Brady of blogging, the Conor McGregor of podcasting. Some even call me the white Tupac of screenwriting. Most importantly, call me the King of the Bean, because Boston's my town. The Bean, a.k.a. Boston. But more importantly, most importantly, I am the man who is always, always, always on my grown man shit. That's just how I do, especially now. It's my birthday month. Thank you for tuning in. Now, let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Today is August 6, 2019, and welcome to the Tea Podcast. Welcome to your Tea Podcast. Wherever you listen, however you listen, whenever you listen, on iTunes, on tblog.com, on your phone, whether you go to the website, however you do, I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. Said earlier, and I said last week, that it's my birthday month. My birthday is August 21st. I will be turning 42 years old. I know. I can't believe that I'm turning that old too. I thought I struggled with 40, like that number, and now just hitting like the 40s. I don't know. There's a difference between 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, and so on until you hit 50. But I was just thinking the other day, and I was telling my beautiful, kind girlfriend that my next milestone birthday will be 8 years from now, and I will be turning 50. I cannot believe my next milestone will be 50. I want to perish the thought. I don't want to fucking even think about it. But I am a Leo, as I said in last week's podcast on Tuesday. A lot of people reaching out. I promised you last week I was going to attempt 5 podcasts. I gave you 3. I gave you 2 of my typical T-blog, T-style, T-episode, T-podcast, all that T-shit, all the acronyms and all the names that I have. I gave you 2 regular ones, topical. Then I gave you a movie review of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Then I tried to get 2 going with B-Lo. I shit you not, B-Lo and I sat down yet again to record, and we had a fucking problem with Skype. Skype, I don't know what your fucking problem is, but you're doing something. I haven't recorded a good, clean Skype podcast in over a month, and I'm pissed off. So I went to Cuba. I was on vacation. I came back. I got sick. B-Lo and I sat down not once, but twice. So B-Lo and I have not recorded in about a month. A lot has happened, and I'm not going to leak it out there on my own. B-Lo and I will be sitting down this week, and I'm recording this over the weekend, and this will go up on, obviously, like I just said, it's August 6th. Then I'll have another individual solo one on the 7th. I'm hoping that will be Hobbs and Shaw, the Fast and the Furious spinoff. I know the Fast and the Furious movies are over the top and ridiculous with the CGI and action and story, but I gotta see them all because I'm committed to the Fast and Furious franchise since 2001. The first one launched in 2001. You believe that shit? It's now 2019. This is the first spinoff. Then we got Fast 9 coming out next year, and then probably Fast 10, which supposedly is supposed to be the last, not counting any spinoffs. That Fast 10 will be in 2022. You're talking a franchise that's gone over 20-something years. That is insane. And it's all based off an article in the LA Times about street racing, and then they combined it with the plot, because I sat down with my cousin and I said it the first time I saw it, that the first Fast and Furious was basically, article aside, street racing article aside, it was a street racing version of Point Break. Yeah. Instead of Point Break, surfing and surfboards, it was Point Break with cars and street racing. Brian is Johnny Utah. Vin Diesel, Dominic Toretto is Bodie. And that fucking story of the bank robberies and how they had a friendship and he lets him go at the end. That became fucking the Fast and the Furious. So I'll have a movie review up for that. This one today is going to be very topical. And then obviously I'm going to have one below. We're going to try a new system. We're going to try Zoom. We're going to see how that goes. We're going to test it out. And then I'm going to catch you up on everything that's been going on. We got big news about the streak. People are asking about the streak. Big fucking news about the streak. I'm also going to get in-depth about what the streak is. My girlfriend reminded me that she wasn't clear what the streak was. And I guess a lot of you didn't know what it was either. Because I only mentioned it a couple times. And then we just started talking about the streak. You think it's just 2 grown men in their fucking 40s snapping each other every day. We are. But you don't know the context behind it. Unless you go back many T episodes ago, many T podcasts ago, and listen about it. But I'll save that for when B-Lo's on it, and we will get one to you. I'm all healthy, finally shook whatever I had, the Cuban flu, the Cuban cold, the common cold, the common flu, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I am back in my routine. It is my birthday month. I got a lot going on. Speaking of my birthday month, I've been focusing on my routine where I'm getting back to the gym 7 days a week. And not half-assing it. I'm talking, I'm doing about 30, 35 minutes of weights. I'm doing about 15, 20 minutes of an ab workout. And I'm doing about an hour of cardio. That is my full intense routine. 5 days a week. Two other days, I get there just to do straight cardio. And then one day I do full-blown ab workout. When I'm on this and I'm consistent, I make some serious gains. And I'm not talking size because I don't try to bodybuild. I don't do that shit anymore. But my body physically looks, starts to look different. But at my age, I just want to maintain. I just want to perform. I just want to stay healthy. It's not about what I used to do in my 20s and my 30s. One thing I've noticed, anybody who goes working out, even back in my prime, when you work out, you get a good sore. When you take a couple days off or a week or two off, it's good to shock up the system and come back and sometimes rest your body. You get that good sore on top of a regular sore and that pain stays a little while. I was not consistent in my routine for about a couple of months. I have not been consistent in my routine for, I think, a couple of years. Everything was going on, like, just my life, and I'm not getting into that again today. But with work and my mom and everything I was trying to figure out, I was just not getting there. I wasn't enjoying working out. I didn't have that anymore. I wasn't getting joy in anything. I was so depressed. I wasn't getting joy in my writing and the podcast. And I'm coming back around now. Thank God. I wasn't, you know, enjoying dating. You know, now everything's back and I'm feeling like me a little bit. I'm not 100% back to the old T that I used to be. I don't know if I ever will. But for right now, for how we've been the last 2 years, especially the last 6 months, this is the best version of T that I have been in a very long time. And for me to be the best version I need to be, I got to work out. I got to work. I got to write. I got to do the podcast. I got to see my friends. I got to see my family. And now I have my girlfriend and I want to spend time with her. But I need to be going on all cylinders. And I don't want to be doing that stuff just to fill the things that I'm missing to keep my mind off the things, my mind about being sad. I do that stuff because I need that. It's peace of mind. I'm very progressive, constructive person. I still go 18 hours a day. I try to get a little more sleep. I can't do it. I've been saying that for years on T-Blog and on here. But one thing I've noticed now that I'm back on my 7 day workout, and I'm probably in my second, coming to the end of my second week in this, my body's sore. Like, that good sore was replaced by a sore. And there's nothing I can do about that. I stretch. I don't take a lot of supplements. I take 2 shakes a day, but I take my multivitamin and I take glutamine. Glutamine heals you, and I need glutamine. But like, my knees feel different. My body aches differently. I stretch. When I do work out though consistently, now I've been noticing I do knock out on the couch a little early. I do get tired, which is a good thing. I think it's good for me to turn off my internal clock and go to sleep. But I don't know, all you people out here that listen, I can't get a good scale of my age demographic yet for the podcast like I used to on T-Blog. I'm trying to get analytics. I think it's a mix. But anyone out there that's, you know, in the early 40s or beyond, man, your body just, the workouts hit different. You just feel different. Your body just has these aches and pains sometimes. And I don't know. It just feels different. It's tough to describe. I guess you just, you know, you can't beat father time. It's not like I'm trying to. I just realize this now. And I'm like in the fucking gym. And I'm like, I get up in the morning. I'm like, oh, where the fuck did that come from? My hip? My hip's starting to go? My knee's starting to go? Why am I fucking sore? I can't fucking stretch. I can't move. At nighttime on the couch, I move and I'm like, I'm doing those things now. I'm like, fuck, what the fuck was that? I'm constantly saying and doing that now. It's fucking odd. I gotta get used to it, but it's something that just fucking comes with age. And you gotta, as a man, you gotta swallow that shit. You gotta fucking be like, the pride in knowing that you've aged. And I guess I've earned those aches and fucking pains. I've earned the grays in my fucking head and my beard now. I just gotta get used to that fucking shit. But I'm not fucking kidding. I'll tell you when it first kicked in, too. Before it was even back on my 7 day workout, I was doing 3, 4, 5 days a week and driving down to the casino with my dad last month. My right leg, my driving leg, was cramping. Same thing coming back from New York City with my niece when I saw Harry Potter last month. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Yeah, man, it's not fun. I don't want to complain. I'm not here whining, but I'm sharing what the fuck was on T style. And you have this to look forward to if you're not at that fucking age yet. Or somebody who's been working out, you know, for at least now for 22, 23 years, if you've been working out a long time, like me, and you get to my age, oh, believe me, you get some fucking aching pains. Which brings me to one of my first very topical ones. And not only is it my birthday month, and not only is my Leo season, but it's also someone who's the same age as me and who has not shown any signs of age. That is the great motherfucking Tom fucking Brady. Tom Brady, as of this recording on August 3rd, even though this is going up on August 6th, it's his 42nd birthday. Same age. He was born in 1977, 18 days before me. Two goats were fucking born. Bless this God-given green fucking earth, ladies and gentlemen, in 1977. And that was Tom Brady, and that was your boy fucking T. And Tom Brady's going into his fucking 19th season of fucking playing in the NFL. 42 years old, 19 seasons, 8 Super Bowl appearances, won fucking 6 of them, has the most fucking points, most games played, coming up on the touchdowns. There's no way around it. Like, I'm hoping this year, I know they're missing a few pieces, everybody's expecting to just hit a wall. He hasn't hit that fucking wall yet. He may retire still playing really well, just choose to not play the game anymore. He may never hit a fucking wall. It's the TB12, it's the pliability, it's the water, it's the fact that he doesn't eat fucking strawberries, it's the fact that he still has that drive to win. I relate to Tom Brady. You gotta treat your body like a machine, but you also gotta have that fucking drive. Treat your last fucking, your first game like your last game. Treat your first fucking script like your last script. Treat your fucking first podcast like your last one. Go into the office every day like it's net new. I like that. That's my outlook on life. I love that fucking Tom Brady does that. And for all you fucking haters out there, whether you come here to listen to hate on me, I love it. I love that you fucking do it. I hope I don't have a lot of haters at this point. Or whether or not you fucking hate on Tom Brady, let me allow that to fucking motivate you. Let Tom Brady motivate you. Your disdain for the guy and your disdain for the Patriots aside, you're never going to see another fucking Tom Brady again. This, like Jordan, you know, somebody will probably, I don't think LeBron will do it, but somebody will come close to Jordan with 6 rings. The Super Bowl? No. To make 8 of them? No. And win 6? You're never going to see this again. You're never going to see what Tom Brady and fucking Bill Belichick and this Patriots dynasty did. You're not going to see a reign for fucking 2001 to fucking 2019. You're not going to see a 19-year dynasty. You're not going to see that ever again. On top of the appearances in the Super Bowl, top of the fucking rings, on top of the records being broke. On top of that 18-1 season with 16 and all, they went to the playoffs. You're not going to see all that together in that package is what I'm saying. Enjoy it while you can. I said it before and I'll say it again. I got to see Mike Tyson in his prime. I got to see Michael Jordan in his prime. I got to see Tom Brady in his prime. I'm glad that I had my season tickets for 6 years to watch Tom Brady fucking do what he did. Enjoy it. Then go back one day and fucking realize what you were hating for no reason or didn't hate. Don't hate on greatness. Don't hate on the guy that does fucking something with his life that busts his ass. Let that inspire you. Make you get out of bed in the morning. Be a better man. I talk about it here. I talked about it on the podcast. Talked about it on T-Blog. Talked about it on the podcast. Be a better you than you were yesterday. That's it. Don't compete with anyone else. Don't try to fucking do anything. Doesn't matter how big your fucking car is, how big your house is, fucking how young your wife is, how fucking talented your kids are. All that matters is that whatever makes you fucking happy. Whether you got fucking $3 in your bank account or $3 million. Worry about you. Don't worry about the other guy, what he has in his bank account or what they're doing. Just be a better you. That's what fucking Tom Brady does. That's why the guy never says anything bad about anyone. Me, I like talking shit about people. That's one thing I envy about Tom Brady. He never talks shit about anyone. He just lets it fucking stay on the field. He's that much of a nice guy. And you want to find fucking flaws in him and holes? The only flaw you could see in him, and I was talking to my girlfriend about this the other day, is that obviously when he was younger, he left his girlfriend, Bridget Monaghan, pregnant to go on with Giselle. He fucked up. He made a mistake. He's human. But other than that, as far as what he did, he didn't fucking deflate those balls. You all fucking know that. He's not a fucking cheater. The guy didn't have the best arm in the fucking league, but he goes out there and he fucking throws every day, just like Michael Jordan. You ever pay attention to Michael Jordan? He fucking said he went outside and did like 1,000 fucking free throws every day. When he did the free throws, that's how he became a better shooter. He wasn't born that way. He worked at it. Enjoy this. So happy fucking birthday to the GOAT. My man, Tom Brady. A few other things I want to get into today. Speaking of sports, I'm just going to keep this topic going. Without hating on the person. I think it's kind of funny because I saw the video though, so I'll try not to hate on the person. There was a kid, he's 23 years old, I think. He was throwing at this fast pitch, the pitch that clocks you, the one that's radar pitching at some of these parks. I think Fenway has one. He was at the Colorado Rockies game. And this is all over the internet, you may have seen it. And he threw off the mound, and that thing clocked him at 96 miles per hour. Now, people are trying to say that maybe something was wrong with the radar that was measuring him, the pitch radar, the pitch gun. Some people saying he crow hopped, which is he took a couple steps off the mound. He absolutely took a couple of fucking steps off the mound. The people that knew him or see him playing, like his brother and stuff, came to his defense saying, from the mound without moving, throws 95. Regardless, he did run off the video that I saw that got him signed. He still got fucking signed. The Oakland A's signed this kid to a major league fucking contract. So that shows, like, you know, some people out there can win the lottery. Sometimes you're in the right place at the right time in the power of what social media can do for you. So this kid is now a Major League Baseball player for the Oakland Athletics by throwing a fucking fastball 96 miles per hour, just going there with his buddies. And of course, he was a pitcher, but not at the professional level. And he got signed. Everybody on the internet is going off saying, yeah, I could throw like that too if I crow hopped. Get the fuck out of here. If I got to run and start fucking 20 fucking feet, I don't think I'm throwing past 70 miles an hour. I'm a little bit older now. You heard me say that a little while ago, but fucking shit, I never had an album like a fucking rocket like that. Also, a lot of people putting videos up there of Charlie Sheen from Major League that, you know, the ball goes flying, goes into the stands, goes at the announcer, and everybody, Bob Uecker just, he goes just a little bit outside. Yeah, the kid was throwing wild, but he wasn't really pitching. There wasn't a catcher for him. He was throwing against a mat that had the shape of somebody as a catcher. So can he have that control? I saw some of the video up there that people were posting, and when he played in real life games, in real life situations, the kid could throw. He could throw to a catcher. I'm assuming he could control his pitches. I'm assuming that was a fastball. You're not throwing a breaking ball like that, not throwing a curveball like that. I don't know what else he has in his arsenal. I mean, that's another thing, too. You could have the heat. Doesn't matter if you're throwing 95 to 100 in Major League Baseball. If you don't have any other pitches, you're fucked. You know, what people work on are those breaking balls, those sliders, those curveballs, and then sometimes you got like a cutter if you're a closer. A relief pitcher, yeah, you could throw hard, but what else do you have? The pitches that get hit all the time are those relief pitches that come in because the aces, they have a few pitches in their arsenal. They could throw the heat, but they also have a few other things. Like they have a nasty curveball. Some people have the fucking breaking ball. Shit, you got some people out there that could throw a knuckleball. So I don't know if this kid could fucking do that. Let's just see what happens. And I know there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on him, a lot of eyes on him. If he ever gets called up and he plays in an actual game, I don't know if he's going to be a starter, but if he gets called up in relief, let's see what he does. So good luck to you, kid. I forget your fucking name. I'm not searching you, but good luck to you. Pivoting on over to politics, a lot going on this week. I'm not even going to get into the Democratic debates. I want that fail to get a little weaned out. I think this is like the D-list crowd. There are too many motherfuckers trying to be the Democratic representative. I think the top candidate is going to be Joe Biden at some point. I'll probably end up voting for him, but unfortunately, like I said before, and I'll say it again, I don't think Trump is losing. I don't want to vote for Biden. I don't want to vote for the Obama school, even though I voted for Obama twice. I didn't want to vote for anybody coming out of a Hillary camp, but I think for these candidates, for what I'm seeing, for all these people with the shadiness, and again, the Democrats got a lot of work. I still say this should not be just a two-party system, but I will probably end up voting for Joe Biden, but I'll worry about that when I get there. Donald Trump himself decided to get his campaign going, his rally point. He picked a location, gave him a speech in Cincinnati earlier this week. And he's going on just talking all this rhetoric, all this crazy shit. And I actually saw in the office, I was watching through the kitchen where I work, we have all the local news, not the local news, but the national news being played if we're not just watching the stock market. And this is on CNBC. I saw this and I saw it that same night. I saw it trending on Twitter. In Cincinnati, again, I hope I'm not turning off my Trump lovers out there, but this dumb son of a bitch is on there. And he says that him and his people, the Trump administration, are going to cure both AIDS and child cancer. Children with cancer. Not adult cancer, but he focused on that. He's saying that his time in office, as he gets his campaign going, that he needs 4 more years, that he will cure AIDS and cancer in children. Now, let me go with the comedic side first before I get a little personal with the cancer thing. As you all know, I lost my mom's cancer. I lost a lot of people to cancer. I always thought there are cures out there that the politics have that certain people get access to, that they get certain treatments. I think some politicians get that. I think some celebrities get that. I think a lot of people think it's crazy when we talk about, case in point, Magic Johnson. I think there's a lot out there. I think there's cures for everything. I think a lot of these diseases were man-made, released into the population. And again, I'm a pretty intelligent person. I'm not a conspiracy theorist type person. I think they use a lot of disease out there to regulate the population, regulate jobs, regulate fucking food control, all that. I think there's access to all this. I think a lot of these were made. And if they weren't made by man, I think that people out there, I think there's stuff out there that the government has that could cure these diseases, or at least treatment and make your life, you could still have a long life with a lot of these diseases that take your life. AIDS being one of them. Cancer, unfortunately, being another one. I think there's cures out there. I think there's straight treatments and cures that I will never have access to. People like my mother never had access to. But to sit there and say, as a fucking Republican, I think that's something that he's trying to hit home on the people that are Democrats, who need funding, who need free health care, who are struggling with Obamacare. I think he said that because the people in middle America, who I'm going to, hopefully, the middle America people, don't take this the wrong way, aren't as intelligent as the fucking coastal people. I think he's hitting home on that, and he's using that to fucking get to the people who can't afford actual good health care, are struggling with Obamacare. And they're dumb enough to think that this orange, fat, comb-over son of a bitch is going to cure both AIDS and cancer in children. The non-comedic side, the non-funny side of me saying, you got the balls to fucking go out there and throw that out there, saying that you're going to find a way during your administration it's going to cure fucking cancer in children when cancer is fucking literally taking people away from their families. And watching someone go through cancer, Donald Trump, I don't know if you ever watched someone get ravaged by cancer. And you're saying children cancer, that's even worse for a little fucking kid. But to sit with someone as that disease eats at them, as they go through radiation or chemotherapy, and they can't eat, and they lose their appetite, and they throw up blood, and they shit blood, and they're fucking pain, and how many times they're in and out of the hospital, and what they go through, and they lose their hair, and they lose weight, and their fucking skin color, and then you think they're coming out of the fucking woodwork, and they're not, and it does something else, and then they wither away, and then they're on their fucking deathbed, and you never know if that's gonna be the last time you see them. You wanna go ahead and take fucking cancer as a pillar to build your next fucking round of campaigning. On a weekend in Boston, we were doing the Pan Mesh Challenge, where people ride bikes to find a cure for cancer. That, to me, is fucking downright fucking despicable. And if I didn't disdain the fucking guy, if I didn't have disdain for him before, I definitely do now. And anyone out there that fucking has been impacted by fucking cancer, for this guy to say that, that you believe he's gonna fucking cure cancer, at least in children, over the next 4 years, if he wins and stays president, you're a goddamn fucking fool to vote for him if you believe that. So I just wanted to put that out there because I wanted to come at it from both a funny angle and a personal angle, and I think that's fucked up. That being said, moving on over to movies. The Irishman dropped. The trailer dropped this week. Martin Scorsese is coming back. This movie reunites Martin Scorsese with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. He got Joe Pesci out of retirement. Not only that, he's bringing in Al Pacino. The four of them never worked together. They never done a movie together. This is the story of a book from the guy who has claimed on his deathbed to have killed Jimmy Hoffa. That guy is going to be played by Robert De Niro, and Al Pacino is playing Jimmy Hoffa. The trailer dropped, and a couple of things about this. Well, I'm bringing up, obviously, you know, I'm a movie fan. I've gone here plenty of times, plus Scorsese. As much as I talk about Quentin Tarantino, as much as I talk about Kevin Smith, Martin Scorsese had a big impact on my life growing up, all the movies I've seen from him. Can't say enough about his movies. I had to wait for this movie to come out. I've been hearing about it for a long time. A couple things on the back end. It's a Netflix movie. Martin Scorsese was going to release it straight to Netflix. Netflix is doing a lot of original content. But he also, because of Scorsese, he wanted to go ahead and release it in theaters. They're going to do a limited run in theaters. A few cities are going to have it. I don't know if Boston will. I would love to see it in theaters. But, of course, I'll watch it on Netflix. And then that limited run, or if he gets more of a release, because you need studios to partner up, because Netflix doesn't release into movie theaters, so he needs somebody to partner up with that, then it'll go straight to Netflix. So it's based off the book. It's based off a somewhat true story. We can't confirm that. None of us can confirm it. The guy died. We don't know if he made that up. I don't know why he would make that up on his deathbed, but you never know. Maybe there's some rights to the book being sold that he wanted to leave this to his family, and he kind of had a smart angle and decided to say that. Nobody could say otherwise because nobody truly knows who killed Jimmy Hoffa. We had that Hoffa movie with Jack Nicholson and Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito directed it. Danny DeVito was like a bunch of sub-characters. He was a fictional character in a non-fictional story. Where I didn't have a problem with the Hoffa movie. It was just that the angle of it where Danny DeVito's character never existed. He was a mix of different characters in real life. So we had a Hoffa story. We never had Al Pacino playing Hoffa, let alone De Niro being the guy that kills him and having Joe Pesci in that as well too. What they also used in this, and I have to call it the Marvel CGI de-aging system because I haven't seen anybody else but Marvel use this really well, where they've done it with Kurt Russell, they've done it with Robert Downey Jr. in their movies. This movie, if you watch the trailer, shows Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro like 30, 40 years younger. It's really cool that they're using that CGI that only I could think is the same technology Marvel's been using, where it's their voice, it's no other actor playing them, it's them. Same thing that they got that Gemini Man coming out that with it's going to be Will Smith, where he goes up against a younger version of himself, a clone. They did the same thing. It's the guy that directed Face Off that a Chinese director, I'm forgetting his name right now, but he did all his action movies back in the day. John Woo? Yeah, John Woo, I think it was. They did it in that movie, too, which is coming out as well. But I want to see this movie for all those reasons. I want to see what he could do for Netflix. I want to see how many people come in to see that Netflix movie. I want to see if it makes it in the theaters. I think it's going to be a blockbuster. It's Scorsese. It's going to get Oscar nominations regardless. You can almost guarantee it's going to get Best Adapted Screenplay nomination, Best Picture nomination, Best Director nomination. And does Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, and Al Pacino still have it in them at their age? On top of a movie that's going to be heavy CGI as them younger, will the Academy look at them to open up not only as old actors, but half the movie where they're being CGI'd as younger? This will change the game of how nominations go through. And will they get Best Actor nominations or Best Supporting Actors? I'm very interested to see that. So the Irishman trailer is out. It's out there all over the place. You go to Apple movie trailers. You could go to iTunes. You could go to YouTube or just search it on there and watch the Irishman trailer. I'm waiting for another Scorsese movie. I can't wait. There's rumors that he's negotiating another one with both De Niro, that will reunite De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio together too. So I'm interested to see when that movie is going to come out. They're working on another one. But the Irishman trailer is out there, and take a look at it. Something else in movies, which I see trending, is a poll on Twitter. I'm going to get the two things on Twitter, and then I'll call it a day on this podcast. There was a poll the other day, which movie or movies would you turn into a TV show if you had the power to do it? Look, that just jumped out at me, being the screenwriter, being the person that loves fucking movies the way that I do. Regardless of the ones that I've written, obviously I like to say that my movies should be released. I like to say that my TV shows and my treatments and my pilots and my pitches should be turned into TV shows first. But my history of movies that are out there that I've loved, that I would love to see turned into a TV series, I like comedies. I could think of some dramas, and some come to mind. Right away, it would be cool to see someone with an all-star cast. Like, for instance, I would love to see classic Swingers, the TV show. Whether it could be like Favreau and Vaughn's kids. They could do it at this point. We could do a remake of Just Them as a TV show. It could be the same story with Mike. We could have that one, Mike and Trey and T and all how those characters, how they did that one. I like to see Wedding Crashers, another Vince Vaughn movie. Wedding Crashers, the TV show, would be fucking hilarious. I would love to see another one, Anchorman. I think anything Will Ferrell did in his prime, old school, I think those would be great TV shows, a series ongoing. You could have a lot of fucking fun with those. And some of the classics, I would like to spin off like the characters from A Bronx Tale. Like, what happened after the 50s and 60s? You know, maybe Calogero sees kids grew up. Or it could just be a remake of that. Like, I could come up with a lot of ideas, any classic movie that I could adapt for a TV show. I have so many out there. True Romance, I would not want to see that because I love that movie so much as a TV show. But you could take characters off of that and you could turn that into a True Romance TV show. But I think really good dramas and really good comedies could be any candidate for a good TV show. It's tough to do action, because action stories are very light. You know, there's not the ultimate action movie out there. For instance, Die Hard. Could you take John McClane and put him in a situation every week on a weekly TV show? Sure. Would it work? Would it be like Die Hard itself? No, because action movies don't have much going on. But you could take something and put him in those situations. But even that, like, I never watched 24. I think it's unrealistic to get an action star and put him in a situation where shit would keep on happening to him week in and week out. It's tough to believe that happened to John McClane 6 times in the fucking Die Hard movies, because there's 6 fucking Die Hard movies. And now they're doing the original one, John McClane, with a young John McClane. Supposed to happen before Die Hard. So action movies, no. Horror movies, tough too. I'm not big on horror, the genre. I don't big on horror TV shows. I never watched American Horror. I watched the very first one. 2 episodes, I thought it sucked. I know I'm in the minority when I say that. I don't think you could turn a good horror movie into a TV show, because there isn't anything out there like Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, the series. They tried that. They flopped. The Exorcist, that they canceled that. You can't really do that. So take a good comedy, take a good drama, and turn that into a TV show. So that was out there. Those are my recommendations for anyone listening who had their picks. One other thing I saw trending on Twitter, it's pretty hilarious. I'm not going to do it. I don't know if anybody will end up texting me. There's something going on right now where you text your texting neighbor, your phone neighbor. So somebody that's one number away from your phone number, you text them and introduce yourself. And they put all these screenshots of how people react, and some people weren't too happy. Some were just going along with it. Some were having fun. I think it's fucking hysterical. So if you haven't tried that yet, I don't get the time to do that, to get into a conversation, but if somebody reached out to me and they went off and they were my texting neighbor, my phone neighbor, I would shoot the shit with them. I would make it very entertaining. I would send them random memes and pictures and shit just to fuck with them. So I like that was trending. I thought that for years, like, what would it be like? Because I thought back when I was a kid, when you try to give your number away or a girl would give you her wrong number, you always did it one number off. And I always thought, like, what were those people getting when they were asking for me or when I was calling them asking for the girl? Because that's something you used to do back in the day. Give your number, but just one number off. Or by accident, you give the number off. And there were times back in the day before cell phones, because that's how old I am, that they would write their number, the girl, on your hand, the palm of your hand, and it would get sweaty. And sometimes you would lose that last number. And you would try every number with that number ending from 0 through 9 until you got that person. So in this day and age, I would like to see how that works. I'm hoping that my texting number neighbor reaches out to me. If you're out there, I'm not going to give my number out there, but I'm just saying. I found that pretty fucking funny. With that, Hans Zimmer's coming in. That was a topical tea podcast. It gave you 30 solid fucking entertaining minutes of fire. I will have another one up tomorrow. It'll be my review of Hobbs and Shaw. And then I'm hoping Lisa Beale and I not only get one done, but maybe two this week. I'm going to shoot for four. At least get three. I know you're fiending for a T and Beale podcast. We are too. We've been trying for a month. I apologize. I truly apologize that we haven't done one yet. All right, Han, you're blasting. Where to find me? On Instagram, the_T_podcast for all the podcast-related shit. T-Blog, another account, all one word, for all the cool, amazing pics that I take. Find me on Twitter, T-Blog, all one word. I'm mostly on there now to see what's trending, but you can DM me or reach out to me, tweet me on there. On Facebook, the T-Blog page is still up and running, and you can email me any questions, anything you like about the show, and you want to know more of, t@t-blog.com. And also find me on the T-Podcast at least two times a week, going for three, maybe four this week, but I'm here every Tuesday and Wednesday. And should be every Thursday with B-Lo. Maybe we get one on Friday as well this week. And you can find me on the place that started it all this tea shit, tblog.com. 400 tea episodes are up there. Read them. I use them for fodder sometimes here, people. I do. That's the show. Until next time, always take it there.